Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
the higher the socks, the downer the fool. Hello, hello, hello.
Kisho.
How's everybody doing?
I'm good, ready to do this. I'm excited and it's sunny. I don't know, man. I'm doing
it
good.
Doesn't
how are
sound
you?
Sound like you're actually excited. How does it feel being a fake ass bitch?
You know, living my life.
Well, I'm just here in my house, you know, still not going outside. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to have a fun episode. I hope everybody is safe and sano in their house.
Sano colita de rano.
Where the hell is that damn frog butt at? We need it right now. Literally. What's up? What have you been doing?
Nothing, just working on my classes. You know, teaching at distance, it's actually a lot more work than being there present. So, because I cannot address questions, so I get tons, I wake up with tons of emails. So just starting my day, getting my coffee ready, all of that stuff, it actually, it's a lot more work, but I'm spending quality time with family, so I am in a privileged position, and I'm still getting paid, so I cannot complain, man.
Yeah.
I'm just working. How about you?
Damn, I can't even imagine, girl. It took you 3 years to figure out how to open a Google Doc, so I
already
know. You're working overtime, baby.
Ya tú sabes. Pues sí,
Well, I'm just working on stuff in my studio now. I am out of my grandma's house, and I actually moved back home. And so I'm back with my roommates, who I love and missed very much. I will say I do miss living alone. I definitely, my goal is to live alone probably by the fall because...
Oh, nice.
There's just something very liberating about... You know, just being able to yell whatever you want at any time. But it's going to be really hard because I really, really love my roommates. And I lived with Crystal for over 10 years now.
Oh, my God.
Technically, we're domestic partners, like, at this point.
A big shout out to Crystal because let me tell you, I've known Crystal for, 5-6 years now. She has been working really hard, becoming, she's just blossomed in front of me. She is worked so hard to get into grad school. This year she said, fuck it, I'm going to do it. She applied to hard-ass fucking grad schools. Y todo mundo se estaba fucking dying to have her in her school. She applied to all bunch of them. She got accepted with scholarships to a bunch of them. Congratulations, girl. You worked really hard. You deserve this. Now the good work, it's about to start. And that's a message for everybody. Like,
and honest, and another message is this is not the first time she's applied to schools. This is the second or even third time she's applied to grad schools. And she just didn't take the first offer that was given to her. And so shout out to her for acting like a white man and playing these schools against each other so they could offer her more money. Because remember, when you're applying to grad school, you don't have to say yes.
Exactly.
It's not. It's up to you. And remember, especially as a Latina or as a Latin, as a Latino or as a person of color, applying to schools, it is a privilege for them to have you there. Most of these fucking schools have very, very, very big problems when it comes to representation in their own faculty.
Especially right now. Yes, everybody's all of a sudden being like, oh, fuck, diversity. So, like, this is the time, baby. This is the time to, as you say, to play them against each other because And you have to persevere. Si no te toca este año, te toca el año que entra. But like, you don't give up. Just keep doing it. And don't compare your journey to other people's journeys. We all go through different places. Sometimes we get accepted right away to the best school. Sometimes it takes us 2 years. Sometimes it takes us 5 years. But as long as you know what you want, you keep doing it. Again, Crystal, muchísimas fucking felicidades. You deserve this.
Yes, great job. You know, you say the F word a lot, Babelito.
I do, and I was, every time I me toca edit the podcast, I was like, God damn. Pero yeah. Me vale vergas.
You say the F word a lot, and you say crazy a lot, and I told you, crazy is a very problematic word. That was canceled in 2017, actually. But you never listen to me, so it's okay. But I will say that, wait, what did I tell you before crazy? What was the other word you used?
Fuck.
Oh yeah. I will say that my mom doesn't listen to the podcast because you say the F word so much.
She's pues así está mejor, ¿no?
I know, I'm like, great, that way she won't listen to my dumb shit. So thank you. She's like, es que ese Babelito siempre fucking this and fucking that. No me gusta eso, mijo. Eso no es de Dios. I'm like, okay, mom.
That's a compliment to me. Muchas gracias, señora.
I know. Have you ever met my mom?
Once, yes. I think I met her in an opening. Yes.
Oh yeah, that's right. So my mom, so yesterday I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna go out and go to a dispensary, get some CBD, you know, just something to help me fall asleep sometimes because my mind still races, you know. And so I'm like, I've talked to about this on the show before, but I'm going to support a Black-owned business, a Black-owned dispensary. And I thought the one by my house is Black-owned, and I found out that it's not.
Jardín?
And so it's only, I mean, there are people of color that are partners, but the owner of it is a white man. So just so you know,
chinga.
They only play Black-owned on TV. But I did find there's other dispensaries in town. There's like two other dispensaries in town that are POC-owned. There's a Black-owned one. I think it's called Nevada Wellness Center. Mm-hmm. And that's all owned by three African-American men. And then, of course, there's Nuwu that's owned by the Las Vegas Paiute tribe. So that's Native American-owned. So I will be going there. I just am saying all this to say, please do your research because these white people know what's up. They're targeting these woke millennial people that think they're shopping at black-owned mm-hmm. businesses, and they are not. So,
hijos de la chingada.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that they got, okay? They're still Jenny from the block. what have you been eating, Babs?
Híjole, güey, de todo. Ayer comí ribs. Antier comí. Oh, ahorita voy a hacer tacos, tacos callejeros. It's like tacos de carne asada. I've been eating. Mi suegra hace unas flautas, güey. De puta madre. So that's what we had. That's what we had this morning, like some leftover flautas. But le pones el repollo, le pones la salsa verde, le pones la crema. You have to like just load that shit up, and it's so good. And because I know I'm not going to talk about this. I was going to talk about my teeth and my problems with going with the dentist, but that's another topic. But anyway, yes, that's what I had. I love how she cooks, and we are in a house full of cooks, so a un día le toca uno y a un día le toca otro, which again, hashtag blessed. Thank you. Thank you to everybody in my house for cooking so much for me. What about you?
How many balsamic vinaigrette reductions have you made?
Bitch, none. I have changed. I'm a changed man. You know?
Wow.
New husband, new cuisine. Like literally, I have not. I've been cooking for the past 2 years, for the past year, when finally got into our apartment, I've been cooking Mexican food. All the shit that I was always afraid, including pozole, now, mira, me limpio con ello. So I just cook whatever I want, and it's mostly Mexican food. Like, I make salsas all the time now, sauces. If you open my my freezer, es como si estuvieras en, I don't know, man. Like, I have caldo de pollo, caldo de res. I have salsa verde, salsa roja. Like, I've been calm al señora latina, and I'm very proud of it. Me costó mucho trabajo, and mi sazón es muy rico. So, no balsamic vinaigrettes over here, baby.
Aleluya.
Amen.
Gloria sea el Señor.
Bendito sea el Padre Celestial. Okay, let's do this. Oh, wait. What have you been eating?
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I'm happy that you're starting to recognize that I also host this show. I really appreciate that.
Dude, only took me 4 years, but yes.
Only took you 4 years. Only took you 4 years to ask me questions. Very nice. You know what I've been doing every day? I've been making my own almond milk lattes, girl, because I am that bitch, okay? I'm living my French vanilla fantasy.
Fuck como the dice bees. La Valentina. Ding.
So, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, my tia bought all this almond milk, and she bought it thinking it was like, they like to drink lactaid. I don't know what that is. I think it's like non-lactose milk, some processed shit.
Yeah.
Well, so is almond milk, so I'm not any better. And it's also killing lots of people. You know, whatever.
Yes.
We're all going to die. So
sooner or later.
That's not a nice thing to say right now. I'm so sorry, but I will not edit that out. Okay, so...
God. Pues es la neta del planeta, güey. Respira hondo y profundo.
Let me hold my breath for 10 seconds. Hold on.
Nueve, diez.
Okay, I'm good. All right. No, she had like, you know, my family likes to go to Sam's Club. By the way, okay, here we go. Now you got me started, girl. Sam's Club, what the hell is that? Why, there's all these people, my family specifically, that goes to Sam's Club. They have a family of four. Why the fuck are you buying pretzels in bulk? Like, what is going on in your mind that you need to buy a gallon of fucking mayonnaise? Like, I thought Sam's Club was supposed to be for, like, really big families or, like, businesses. But people, it's insane. Like, and also, like, the produce there is trash. Ugh, I don't understand. Anyway, she bought all this fucking organic almond milk from Sam's Club, which is like a Costco, like a bulk grocery store for all you international listeners who don't have a fucking idea of what I'm talking about.
Girl, there's Sam's Club all over the fucking world now. It's gross.
We are the world. That's right. So I have a lot of almond milk. So I've been just making straight up almond milk lattes. And it's been a joy. They taste so good. They're better than the ones you can get at a fucking cafe. And they cost like $1 a fucking almond milk latte, opposed to the $3 to $5
or
$6 I was spending every day. So, girl, all I do, you know, I take those old school, you know, those old school Mexican metal mugs. ¿Cómo se llaman? Do you know what I'm talking about?
De peltre.
Yeah. And I just put it directly on the stove. I turn it on. I put the almond milk in there. Sometimes I put a little water just to make it less thick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just to make it thinner. That's the opposite of thick. And then... and then I've been using up... I know this is bad, but I have a lot of like... all you coffee heads out there are going to be like, gross. But I have a lot of instant coffee that I've bought over the years that I've found now while we're Marie Kondoing our house. And so I'm using that up. And then I just put a little sugar, a little bit of pure vanilla extract in there. Sometimes I'll throw in a little bit of Ibarra chocolate or Abuelita chocolate to make it a mocha. It's delicious.
Okay. Tu abuela no tiene canela? Just drop a little bit of canela in that milk. That will be good.
My grandma just came back from Mexico. She is on strict quarantine. I will not be seeing her for another week. So that canela can wait, baby.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yes. Okay. We got some listener letters today. Oh, bitch.
Demon.
Before, I did want to talk to you about something.
Go ahead.
Did you see the new Bad Bunny video? At this point, it's like a month old, but we didn't talk about it on the last episode. I want to talk to you about it. What do you think?
I've never seen such an ugly drag queen in my life.
Oh, my God. You are so offensive. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
I read somewhere, I saw it. I read somewhere that said, oh, this is para todas aquellas que quieren perrear solas. I'm like, he's a man. He's co-opting all gender identities and making money off. I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm just viejito and I don't get it.
Yes. Yes, you are. But you're also right. A lot of people are going to be angry, and I'll name them. And so Bad Bunny, of course, white Latino, privileged cis male. And I will say, compared to a lot of other people with his celebrity stature, that could speak up, he actually does talk about trans rights and women's rights. And
oh, that's good.
And is about supporting the LGBT community. He's for all intents and purposes, he's straight. But he has done a few interviews where he says, I don't know, maybe in the future I will be with a man. Who knows? Sexuality is fluid, right?
Right.
So, you know, that's so cool that somebody so popular, like all my little cousins that are teenagers, you know, like they all love Bad Bunny. Like they're always playing Bad Bunny. And I know that when that video came out, especially my religious family was like, oh my God, like he's a transvestite now. Why are you listening to him? I think he did that video to be controversial. And honestly, because he wanted to wear some titties and feel himself. And that's exactly what he was doing in that video, bitch. Okay. And there was a message at the end of the video, like, you know, if women want to dance alone, let them be, leave them alone, right? Which was a nice message. There is a lot of people on Twitter, for example, saying that this was a statement about trans visibility and how he supports trans women and he's bringing to light all of the deaths that have been happening in Puerto Rico. Do I believe that? Sure, maybe he is, but the message is kind of lost on me within the video because when it comes to the world that we live in today, if you're going to make that statement, make that statement. Like when he wore that shirt on that late night show, you know, that said, you know, that actually acknowledged a trans woman. Right. So it's like, yes, he's awesome. He's doing an amazing thing. Could he do better? Of course.
Yes.
We can all do better. But what really, really bugs me is all of these women and all of these men and all of these non-binary people too, like everybody included, putting him on this pedestal and saying like, this is the trans activist.
The flag bearer.
That we've been waiting for, when there's literally black trans women, brown trans women on the front lines during civil rights marches, actual trans women dying for trans rights, and Bad Bunny puts on a titty bib and dances for a while with his flat hair. Like, is he really making that statement? I don't think it's fair to champion this straight man when there's so many women that are being ignored. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
You're right. A mí lo que me molestó aparte es that is like, oh, this is like liberating for women. I'm like, have you listened to fucking Ivy Queen? She's been talking, you know, like singing about fucking perreando sola and no quiere decir que va la cama, boy, before this fucking fool.
Yes.
You know what I'm
yes.
saying? Ay, no.
You want to know something? No, But again, shout out to Bud Bunny. After I saw him in that titty bib, I am more attracted to him than ever. So thank you for that. And thank you for confusing me. I really appreciate that.
It's stupid.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break. Oh, I also want to say this. Like, I've also been on TikTok a lot recently, and I'm trying to really curate my TikTok so I only see, like, the content that I want. And it's the same fucking shit on TikTok. It's like all these black people are on TikTok making up these dances. And who are getting the views? Who are getting the credit? All these white hoes.
Those whiteys, you know?
Oh, it's so fucking annoying. I beg you, Latinos Who Lunch listeners, if you're on TikTok, please filter through that bullshit and find the original artist, find the original person who said that quote, find the original person who started that dance and follow them and raise them up, okay? Because they're the ones that deserve. Follow all those old Chicano abuelitos that are posting shit. Follow the fat people that get no attention because they are not up to social media's beauty standards, okay? If you go on my TikTok, guess who I'm following? All the queers, all the fat bitches, all the brown people, all the black people, because TikTok is fucking racist and they don't put them on the For You page. You know, they don't do that because white supremacy. Oh my God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
All right, we're going to take this moment to thank our listeners for supporting Latinos Who Lunch on Patreon and on PayPal. Last listener letter episode, we thanked all of our comadres, all of our madrinas. This week, we're going to thank all of our amigas. Go ahead, Babs.
First, we thank you, Celeste H. Gracias, amiga.
EJM, thank you.
Carla F. Gracias.
Angelica, thank you so much, Angelica.
Christine H., muchísimas gracias.
Mari J., thank you. Mari J. And we also have a couple people on Patreon that aren't in a category. So thank you, Bob F. You are the best. And Daniel S. from Grizzly Kiki. Thank you. And if you want to be in a category, you can fix it. If you don't, that's fine. You can just be floating in space like the rest of us are. Thank you all. And thank you to also all of our PayPal donations. A big shout out to
Sandy Rodriguez, who says,
"Hey, I know that artist.
Yes, thanks for all you do. Keep up the great work, Sandy. Thanks for all you do and keep up the great work. Muchísimas gracias.
Wow.
It means a lot to us.
Wow, wow, wow. And so if you haven't heard already, go to latinoswholunch.com/donate. You can find links to our PayPal and to our Patreon there. PayPal is very simple, very direct. You can just leave us a donation and a message, and we'll read it on a future episode. And then on Patreon, all the information's there. For $1, you can be our amiga. You get a shout out on the show a month. And then you can also go up and be our comadre for $3 a month and get a bonus episode. And then you can even be our madrina and sponsor our quinceañera, okay? And you get more perks with that. All information is on, again, latinoswholunch.com/donate. And we're back.
Okay, you want me to start or you want to start?
You can start.
This is from Haiti, Politics and Food. Hola, chicos. ¿Cómo estamos? ¿Todo bien? I really enjoyed the episode Viva Guatemala. What a lovely episode, and I'm happy that Fabi got to learn more about his family through this culinary adventure. You truly can get to know someone through their food experiences and habits. I noticed that lately in your episodes, Fabi's has been scratching the surface of something that's dear and near to me and that should be very important to us, and it's food. Not only how we consume our favorite dishes, but the politics of it. Being a Generation X and growing up in the border town of Tijuana, I have noticed the impact and the before and after of NAFTA in our food system and economy. Before 1992, there were no chain fast food restaurants in my city, and the food that we consumed was locally harvested and very accessible. You were able to find in almost every corner of downtown fruteros, ganaderos, verduleros, etc. After NAFTA around 1995, you started to see less independent farmers and franchises popping up, such as Denny's, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, etc., and treated as hangout place to be seen. Oh my God, it's true. Almost converted as a social and class status place that I found very bizarre. Luckily, from an early age, my mom made me very aware of the importance of whole foods and not the store. I also worked for a few years in a Tijuana Final Stage Alternative Cancer Clinic, and that truly woke me up about my eating habits. I had lunch with the patients every day and learned a lot from the cooks and the scientists from the clinic. Prevention truly is the best cure. There's a fascinating book called Eating NAFTA by Alicia Galvez. So good. It is about repercussions that the NAFTA deal has had on the U.S. and Mexican food systems. You can also find an interview of her in the show Eating Matters, episode 114 on Heritage Radio Network. There are a few doctors in Mexico that I admire regarding this topic, and they are viewed as radicals. But I think we are so immersed in the ideology of meat is better, again, as status symbols, that we forget that Mexico is so rich in fruits and vegetables. We have more than 150 fruits, veggie species in Mexico alone. And don't get me started about embutidos, processed meat. Yes, I always say you cannot be woke and eat weenies. Sorry, you can. Now, my question.
Nope, you asleep, bitch. Keep eating those bologna tacos.
Big Latinos Who Lunch, are you guys open to bring food specialists, nutritionists, herbologists, etc. to the podcast? I would love to have this topic addressed more because now Mexico ranks to the most obese country in the world in adult obesity as of 2013. I don't believe in those lists. And first for childhood obesity. Also, diabetes is the leading cause of death in Mexico. I truly think these numbers are due to the politics in food. Although I'm not against globalization, I'm in favor of sustainability and the way we eat is not sustainable. That's why we constantly get sick. Again, thank you for taking the time to read my email. Gracias and as always, felicidades on all your accomplishments. Kind regards, Haiti.
Wow, there was a lot of information in this email. But I do want to say this because it was the last thing in it. Okay. Just so you know, like obesity and diabetes is not the cause of death for people. It's capitalism that is the cause of death. So this happens a lot. A lot of people blame fat people or people with diabetes, for being unhealthy. But what they aren't seeing is the systems that are set in place to make us sick by people who are making money off of us being sick. And I don't know how else to say this, but a lot of information about fat people, for example, because I'm a fat person, and actually Eva and Maite and I always talk about this, like BMI is outdated. A lot of doctors, if they see a fat person or a person of color who's having blood pressure or, you know, issues with diabetes, they automatically shame them, when in reality we live in a world where we can afford to eat healthy food because of the effects of what Haiti is talking about, right? So this comes from a system that is fucked and killing us, okay? And so I just want to get that out of the way. Another thing I want to say is that I actually have the book. The author sent it to me herself. So thank you, Alicia, for sending it. And I do want to have her on the show after I read it and I am informed. I want to do a whole episode about this. So thank you for bringing this to my attention. And it's lit the fire under my ass to read the book and to give the author a call because I think this is important. And for all of you who don't know what NAFTA is, it is the North American Free Trade Agreement between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And you can Google it, locas, and learn all about how that affected kind of this the industrial way that we consume food now.
It fucked everything. Yeah. And there's a lot of historians and anthropologists that talked about it before NAFTA and after NAFTA. Like, it really is a thing.
It happened in the
90s. I remember seeing the 94. Changes. I remember seeing the first McDonald's opening in Juarez. I remember it very well. And like the menu offered things that were Mexican and it was like a fucking thing, right? Like it was all through advertisement that they got people into this. And to this day, my experiences with Mexico, you go to Mexico and you can find delicious fucking things in the menu of Starbucks and McDonald's and these large chains that you don't see in the States. That's how they get you, right? Yes, I think the history of the diversity in food in Mexico, it's incredible. When in class, for instance, when we talk about the creation of myths, we always talked about, I always give them the example of marinara pasta. And I'm just like, what is marinara pasta made of? And they're like, okay, so it has meat. Okay, what else is made of? Tomatoes and tomato sauce and pasta. I'm like, well, where does pasta come from? Well, they're noodles. It comes from Asia. And where are tomatoes come from? It comes from Mexico. Like, globalization has been a thing for a long time. And species of different plants and different foods have been invading the world more than ever after 1492 for good reason and for bad reason, right? But the 90s really saw like one of the most violent stages of that sort of globalization when it comes to food, because not only you saw it in restaurants, you saw it in the store. Like, we started to eat a lot of shit. Like, Maruchan is a thing in Mexico when it shouldn't be a fucking thing in Latin America, you know? And it's because of all of that. That actually will be a really good episode to like name some of the things that really changed in the 90s and how they are so ingrained in us today that we don't think about it. I think we mentioned it once with my mom. She's like, Nor Suiza no es Mexicano. I'm like, bitch, it says Suiza in the actual package. So I think we're so ingrained with it. We don't even know the nutrition values. And even though they put it there with tiny, 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 tiny little letters, we don't think about it.
Yeah. And it's interesting too how Latinos, in my experience anyway, are really loyal to brands. And so like,
we are,
It's like, oh, yeah. Even like during Christmas time, like, oh, yeah, cómete una gordaderina and a Coke, you know? Like, it's like a thing that we do. Or, you know, we're a pine saw family. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Right.
We joke about it on the podcast. I hope that when I do those kind of jokes, that people realize that I'm not like an ambassador for pine saw. It's making fun of the fact that we're so reliant on these brands, but some people think that I'm like being serious about that shit. Anyway, it's called being trying to be funny, and sometimes people don't know because it's not.
Google it, loca.
Google it, locas. Yeah. Oh yeah, and it's funny because it's like, I don't know, when I try to like clean with something that isn't like Windex or a brand, they're like, is it even clean if you're using vinegar or whatever? You know, it's like. Right. It's a big thing. And that comes with food, too. And this, like, 1950s mentality also of, like, we have to have a big piece of steak with every... And to have a complete meal that's, like, so antiquated. And it's gross. Like, I remember in high school, I went to my friend's house, and the whole family poured themselves a giant glass of milk at dinner time. And I'm like,
right,
you guys are eating steak and drinking milk? Like, so grossed out. And they're like, yeah, it's like, this is what you're supposed to do, get your protein, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go home now. Let me know when you guys make taco salad, because that's my shit. Bye.
Stupid. That's so funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything
else you want to say to Haiti?
No, that's it. I think we really need to think about this. And I want a copy of that book now, because I think this should be a whole episode. And we should really get into it, because it really, we don't think about it. And we celebrate it and we make merchandise about some of these products. But then we don't realize what a fucked up oppressive history behind some of this shit is. So thank you so much to Haiti for this email.
All right, next email is from Germán. Saludos desde Londres. Hola, Fabi Fab and Babelito. Longtime listener, first time emailer. Happy face with... No, I'm not going to... Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing.
Don't.
Happy face. I recently listened to an episode of Café con Pam that had a guest who was both Latina and polyamorous. Episode 97, Plant Healing, Polyamory, and Living La Vida Divine with Yoseline Thomas. As a Latino poly person myself, it was amazing to hear from another Latinx who was in non-monogamous relationships that seemed both healthy and ethical. It made me curious if you guys had any take on ethical non-monogamy. By non-monogamy, I'm referring to open relationships and polyamory, etc. I feel this topic is still fairly taboo and off-limits in the Latino community. Having grown up in Mexico, the irony for me is that non-ethical, non-monogamous relationships were so common that we even had a colloquial term for when a straight married man and not only a mistress, but an entire second family on the side, casa chica y casa grande. Okay.
Sass.
Uh-huh. It seems to me that non-monogamy is super common in a culture, but shrouded in shame and secrecy. The modern ethical non-monogamous community seeks to accomplish the opposite, which is to accept people as they are and approach relationships with honesty, communication, respect for everyone involved. I love your thoughts. Thanks, guys. Saludos desde Londres, Germán. P.S. Thank you for recommending Café con Pam. It's great. P.P.S. I'm the listener who randomly ran into Favi on the streets of London in November of 2018. It was crazy for that to happen in a city of nearly 9 million people. You know it had to be El Destino. We love the shout out Favi gave us. Thank you from me and the other Londres who lunch. Oh, Londoners who lunch. Thank you. They were so
That's
sweet.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, that was wild when I was like, what? There's a Latina?
I remember when that happened.
That
yeah,
was wild. I was like getting off of the tube. But look at me, international. Hair flip. Okay. What do you got to say, Babs? Anything?
Yes. I think it is important. And I listened to this episode. I remember it. I was listening in my way to the airport. And I think it is to take the taboo out of it because... It's true. It's better to have an open communication and do that from the get-go instead of like hiding shit and finding side families and finding the truth. And that's the unhealthy one. But yes, there's a lot of taboo surrounding. It's not for everybody. It's not for me, you know, like, and that also comes with its consequences and also with its challenges. But there's room for everything. And truly, I know people that it's worked great and it's much, much more healthier than being hiding, especially when there's all kinds of diseases and shit, you know? So like, I think open communication, regardless of the status of your relationship, is the most important thing. And also to respect both, to respect people that this is what they do and to respect people that this is not what they do, you know? Like the respect should be mutual. You should not be shamed for being monogamous and you should not be shamed for being polyamorous either. But he's right, because the Latino community is not based on that for many, 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 many different reasons. It instantly becomes taboo and the source for very great melodrama. So it's very complicated, but it's interesting and it is important to have these conversations, you know?
I think the reason why it's taboo and it's not open is for many reasons, but... The main reason is because men are fucking weak. That's why. And
right.
Let me explain. So, first of all, gay men, they have an understanding. A lot of men just want to fuck. And having an open relationship is the way to do it. I know many couples that have an open relationship. I know some troubles that work beautifully. And I know the same amount that are a fucking mess and very dramatic. All that to say... I know a lot of monogamous, heteronormative gay couples that have the same amount of drama and they're together and they're monogamous and one of them is cheating or they're sick of each other or this or the list goes on and on, right? So that's what I mean. Men are weak is like, hello, monogamy isn't for everybody. And honestly, it's becoming more and more apparent. It's a social structure that has been set up not only by the church, but also by the patriarchy to keep women out of power. And so in Mexico, why don't you, in Latin America, I should be more broad, why doesn't this work? Because if men are free to be with multiple partners, then does this mean
right.
women?
Para ellos no es un pedo, right.
Does this mean women can also be fluid and be open with their sexualities? Oh, no. We are Latino men. We have to have control over our women. We can't let them be out on the streets. But of course, we can have two or three households, right? We can have two or three mistresses as men, right? This is the patriarchy. This is toxic masculinity, right? That's exactly why polyamory and open relationships don't work within the Latino community, is because the patriarchy is very strong. And
it's deep, yeah.
And very deep. And us as men don't recognize that because we benefit from that privilege.
Right.
Thanks, Herman. Chip, chip, cheerio. Next.
Next, this is from a Family of Seagulls update. Hey, I've been hoping for an update on the Family of Seagulls that Fabi Fab was living with. What's the latest chisme? Thanks, a concerned listener.
Thanks, A. Okay, so this is from a while ago. This email is old, but we finally get into them, girl. So if y'all remember, I had this residency in Portland, Maine, and there was this poor baby seagull, this chick that got stuck on the roof right by my window, and the family couldn't get it back up to the nest. I called back, actually, when I saw this email months and months and months ago, and I asked the director of the residency that I was doing how the seagull did, and she said that the family kept, the lesbian seagulls kept feeding the chick, and when it got strong enough to actually kind of like try to fly, it was able to get to the nest, and it was fine. So the seagull is fine. It's flying around, you know, spreading disease like its rest of its brothers and sisters. And eating your poutine or lobster roll, whatever you're eating in Portland, Maine. Shout out to Portland and all the listeners out there, Luisa, Luis, P, and Pilar, all the beautiful, wonderful friends, Justin, that I made while I was out there. I miss everybody.
Awesome.
Okay, next question from Margarita. Deconstructing identity politics. Here we go. Hola, hola, Coca-Colas.
That's funny.
I just started listening to y'all yesterday and have fallen hard AF. I have so many questions and will try to stay focused on the biggest and juiciest one of all. Does privilege play into the identity politics of being POC/WOC? For some backstory, I have a Costa Rican father and a white mother. Those are not exclusive. Costa Ricans can also be white, just so you know. Okay, my siblings and I were born and raised middle class in the Midwest, aka in white culture, and we are all fairly white passing. I have visited my family in Costa Rica many times, and I'm fluent in Spanish, and a big part of my heart is connected to my Latin American roots. I edited a bunch of backstory out because we only have an hour. Okay, so I'm going to go forward here. Although my father was raised in the mountains of Costa Rica, he attended Quaker school. Shout out to Quakers! I was raised Quaker too. Oh my gosh. Shout out to the Iglesia Amigos, which is where he learned English. By 19, he got his green card and drove to the U.S. Even though he migrated here legally, he first stayed in segregated Alabama in the 60s. I will never forget the story he told my siblings and I about when he went to his driver's license to get his driver's license in Alabama. It was cold and he didn't have a jacket, so he leaned against a radiator while waiting in the lobby. He was called the N-word by a police officer and told to back off the radiator. Even Jesus. Though he would soon move to the Midwest, he would regularly get kicked out of bars for being brown. Needless to say, he assimilated as much as he could as a brown person being sold the American dream. Back to the point. I feel as though since my father came here legally, again with this word, I don't know why that bothers me. I do know why that bothers me, but
I mean, yes,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. And that I was raised in a white middle class and white middle class America, I have a level of privilege that does not allow me to piggyback on the oppression of others when identifying as Latinx. This is a big question that I've been trying to desenrollar because I am an emerging visual artist that delves deeply into deconstructing identity. My first name is Margarita, and I feel that when funders see that, they automatically latch onto it in order to get their diversity brownie points. Ooh, I like that, brownie points. Pun definitely intended. Moving forward, I do have the right to identify as Latinx artist, right? Or do I just identify as multicultural? Or am I just overthinking this way too pinche much? Yeah, the last part. I feel like I'm an imposter when I say I'm Latinx or when people assume that label for me. I'm not sure where I stand, especially as a cis woman claiming that term. Muchísimas gracias por todo lo que ustedes hacen. It truly, madly, deeply means a lot. En serio. Besos, Marge. Okay, P.S. I wrote Marge. She wrote Margarita. I thought it was funnier. Okay, P.S. My main art practice involves hand deconstructing fabric as a representation for the fabric of society. So, Pavelito, finish your book on deconstructing silence as soon as possible so I can read it and be inspired. Thank you very much.
Okay. Así como no hay voy.
Yeah, let him do all the work for you, bitch. Okay, here we go. Sorry. That was mean. That was mean. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. Okay. Let's see. Babs, what do you got to say?
Hijo de su madre. Pues es que es la misma letter that we always get. Yeah. Like,
refer to don't every pay... listener letter episode ever.
I pay no attention to other fucking people, and you do what you gotta do. And I mean, in the way you write this email, you sound pretty fucking Latinx to me. So I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you sound problematic and confused. You're definitely Latinx.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's the thing. Like, that's one of, I think we said it in the last, two listener letter episodes. When you start to delve deep into local and personal stories about survival, about communities, you get a much more nuanced picture about diversity as opposed to like try to fit into the big categories, you know? Like, just because Latinx visibility translates into conchas, piñatas, Frida, and this and that, doesn't mean that that's our story, right? And your story in the Midwest seems to be something that deserves a space and a voice, and people should listen, and you should delve into that. I think I find it more valuable when there's an honesty of that within those stories, within those struggles that I'm not familiar with because I'm from the border and my grandfather, you know, like, work hard for all of us to get papers, like, decades ago, you know? So, like, I don't understand the struggles of the Midwest. So I'd rather see that, regardless if you are white Latino or not or whatever, than me telling you how to fit into the large picture, because to me, the large picture doesn't exist. We always talked about center and periphery. So while the center of Latinidad may look a certain way, once again, don't be fooled by the rocks that we got. Like, it really doesn't mean shit. It's all about local. It's about local stories. It's about local identities. So to all of those people that are struggling into understanding how their Latinidad is supposed to look like, how do they perform it, look inside, look within your own family, and you're going to find amazing, amazing stuff.
Yeah, and I had this realization about my work many, many years ago, and I said to myself, why am I trying to be a representative of the Latinx community? That's not fair to me. White artists from the United States are never, specifically white male artists, because unfortunately even white women are kind of forced to make art about being a woman, which is so fucking stupid too. But...
Right.
But they can get away with making art about anything too, you know? So that's a whole nother email. That's a whole nother episode. But I found myself in this place where, yeah, people were checking a box by having me in an art show or labeling me Chicano, even though I'm technically not, just to fill a box, putting me in queer shows because, you know, like, who cares, right? So it doesn't matter. And so that doesn't define who you are and who you are. Everybody's different. And so I thought, why am I struggling so hard? And why is all that weight on my shoulders? It doesn't have to be. And I was even looking at other Latino artists who were like making work about like their ancestral roots when it comes to being Mexican or Central American. And yes, I am connected to that, but I'm more interested in exploring my own identity as you are, Marge. And so I started really embracing that. And this is who I am. I'm a white passing Latino who loves pop culture, American pop culture, which happens to be white culture. And so I make art about that. And because Latinidad is so vast and, dare I say, diverse, right? And so I started diving into like things that I stayed away from because I didn't see them as authentically Latinx, right? For example, Tex-Mex food.
Right.
I always would turn my nose up to Tex-Mex food and be like, that's not real Mexican food, you know? And so last year, for example, I researched Tex-Mex food like it was my favorite thing. And guess what? It ended up being my favorite thing because within the history of Tex-Mex dishes, there are real-ass stories, real-ass people, and authentically important stories. People are obsessed with authenticity, like you say all the time, Babelito. And it ain't, what is it? What does that even mean? What does authentic cuisine even mean, right? So, yeah, it's more interesting, like Babelito said, to explore your own identity. What does a Latino from the Midwest do? I want to see that. I want to see that represented in art. How do you see yourself? Let's see it, you know? That's more interesting than another fucking, I don't know, Mayan calendar made into a collage with pieces of, I don't know, girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, look at this. I took Aztec symbols and made them Pokemon. Like, okay, great. Thanks, bitch.
Right, great, okay. Amazing.
I mean, that artist is really amazing. I'm not going to, but I'm just saying.
But, you know, I'm gonna
podcast is just full of contradictions, but y'all already know that. You already know what's up.
I'm gonna give Marge the example of my student Kaylee is she studies with me, she's an undergrad, she's fucking brilliant, and she's looking at the work of the photographer Luis Medina. And Luis Medina is a queer Chicano Midwest photographer who's always been boxed into that. So the writings of Luis Medina, they're very limited, and they're all about how he's queer, or he's not, or he's Latino, or he's not. Bitch has amazing landscape images that they don't pay attention to because it doesn't fit the boxes. And that's what I told my student. I said, the biggest contribution you're going to do to his work is not to box him into being a queer photographer, not to box him into being a Latinx photographer, but do not deny the obvious Latinidad and queerness of his work. I said, that's what's going to be liberating about him. But because Latinx queerness looks a certain way, somehow scholars need to fit him into those boxes when this is a Midwest sensitive kid, Latino, queer, and everything else. Why can he be everything, right? Rest in peace. And his landscapes, once you go outside of those limiting categories and you just liberate him into being everything and everything else, you realize that his work is fucking amazing and gorgeous, and there's so much nuances to his pictures of the lake, for instance, you know? So I think it's that. I think it's that when we stop obsessing over our fantasies about what Latinidad looks like, because even though we complain about authenticity, we do it all the time. We have an idea of how queerness looks like. We have an idea of how Latinidad looks like. You know, we have an idea of how blackness is supposed to look like. But that's because we have those fantasies. We have to authenticate them by acting them ourselves. But we don't have to fucking do that. We have to, again, do an introspection, look into ourselves, look into our history. This is why earlier in the podcast, I always talked about how I identified as Southwesterner, you know, because Southwesterner means a lot of things. It doesn't just mean being Mexicano. It means being a lot of fucking different things. And I think I will be more inclined to see that in your art your Midwestern Latinx, white Latino, whatever experience, then seeing an artist that is struggling, trying to fit into those authentic fantasies of what Latinidad is. So, and that's to everybody, because again, as we mentioned before, we get a lot of those letters. And the answer, you know, it's in your, I don't know, te está sentando encima de ella. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for your letters. Again, you can email us at asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we will read your letters in the future. Like I said, you can send us fun questions. I really like that polyamory one. We've never got a question like that before. So
right.
As listeners, you know what kind of questions we get. Spice it up. Help us out. You guys need relationship advice? Don't send it to us. Send it to somebody else. Send it to But you have some fun anecdotes, send them our way, please. And also, you can send us voice memos. I know that on iPhones you can do that, or record it on your computer and attach it to an email. However you can, send it our way, and we might play them on a future episode. All right, so we'll take a little break and then come back with recommendations. OMG, Babelito. I just want to thank everybody for supporting us on Latinos Who Lunch, on our Patreon and our PayPal. And I want to give an extra special shout out to all of our madrinas who are really, 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 really helping us out all the time. So I'm just going to start by reading their names. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Alejandra, thank you so much, madrina.
Shout out to you. Shout out to Anna H.A. Thank you very much.
Annette R., thank you.
Chris E. V., muchísimas gracias.
Daisy Z.
Dora P., muchísimas gracias.
Hilary N., I miss you.
Te amamos. Indira H. E., muchísimas gracias.
I always think of India R. E. when I see that one. Jessica, thank you, Jessica A.
Jorge A., muchas, muchas gracias.
Luis, I miss you, comadre. Thank you so much. Well, madrina now, shit.
Right.
Anyway, I FaceTime with Luis the other day and his partner, Tyler. Shout out to you guys. You're amazing. Thank you for listening.
Awesome. Maria R.M., muchísimas gracias.
Miguel C., thank you. And thank you so much, Miguel, for sending me that message on Twitter with the guess what, Mimi? Untucked. He sent me that from this guy who did you see that on Twitter, Babelito?
Oh my god, me cagué.
Somebody, okay. So here's a little thing. Like, if you guys don't know where I got guess what, Mimi, it's from the Untucked of the first episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars, where Mimi on First is having a meltdown, and Raven goes, "Well, guess what, Mimi?" And so. Anyway, you have to watch the clip for it to make sense. You can go on my Twitter to find it, but somebody dubbed it in Spanish. It's even better.
But my favorite is the translations of Latrice Royale's reactions. It's just like, ooh.
Ooh.
Ah. Oh.
That's so good. Okay, thanks, Miguel.
Nancy M.M., muchísimas gracias.
Natalia Oh, thank you.
Roberto R., shout out to you.
Rosaura.
We love you, girl. Stephanie B., thank you, thank you, thank you, como siempre.
All rice, no beans on all podcast media platforms. And Vanessa T., thank you. All right. As I mentioned, go to latinoswholunch.com/donate or go directly to Patreon, girl, patreon.com/latinoswholunch, and you can support us there. I have been working for the past year with an artist friend of mine on a very special project that will be released as soon as I get enough money to get this project printed. And so thanks to all of our Patreon subscribers, I think I will have enough money soon. So your money is not only going to fund the show, but it's helping build a little bit of money so that I can come up with like really cool artsy, different merch for you guys. So, Babelito got a little sneak peek, and we are very excited.
Y como diría la reina Isabel, me surretio.
Thank you, everybody.
You nasty. And we're back. Okay, Babs, do you have any recs this episode?
Yes, and I'm going to be 100% honest. This is an artist that I just started listening to, like SNF today, but I fell completely in love. I'm going to explore everything that she offers. Her name is Luisa Almaguer. Get on it. Anything that she creates is amazing. She is a singer, a trans singer from La Ciudad de Mexico. The Mexico, ¡aus! Como tamale. Es de La Ciudad de México. And she also has a caramba from south of the border. And she also has a podcast called Puentes MX. Again, this is Luisa Almaguer. The album that I've been listening to is called Matar o No Matar. Matar o No Matar, but all seguido. Matar o No Matar. It came out last year. And then I started doing some research and she's doing amazing things. Again, the podcast is Puentes MX and the album is Matar o No Matar by Luisa Almaguer. Get into it. There's a little bit of Norte Collective and a little bit of I don't know, like more experimental stuff, but there, it's obscure, but it's beautiful and it's pop. It's everything. Get on it. Luis Almaguer. ¿Y tú qué show? Cuéntame.
I love that. That's going to be my recommendation too. I'm going to look into that podcast and report back because yeah, I don't like to recommend something unless I listen to it. But, you know, at this point, I just want to listen to as many Latinx podcasts as I can. Whatever Latinx means to you, okay? As a reminder.
Right.
I'm just going to make...
de la historia.
I'm just going to make this statement right now. If you think you're Latinx, okay? You're fine. Stop sending us emails about it. Okay. Like I said before, Latinidad is dead, okay? So... No, I'm just playing. But seriously, guys, Afro-Latinos exist. Central Americans exist.
Right. I've been thinking about it with all these letters. I'm like, where are Afro-Latinos, man?
I
want to hear from all of you. Yes.
And guess what? If you don't know about Afro-Latinidad and you don't recognize your own privilege, you might be a white Latino. Okay, here we go. All right. But I do want to, this is actually a call. If y'all know of a good podcast that I have never mentioned before, please slide into my DMs. Actually, better than that, send us an email at asklwlpod.com with your podcast recommendations too. If you started a podcast during this social distancing phase in our lives, let us know. I know I saw a couple of listeners already on Twitter mention that they were encouraged to start a podcast. So let's hear it. And we also get a lot of requests for specifically Spanish podcasts, people speaking Spanish. A lot of them that I look up end up being from Spain, and I don't really understand. Like, I get what they're talking about, but a lot of it isn't relatable to me, you know? So if you know any podcasts coming from the United States, or it doesn't matter, from any part of the world that are in Spanish that you think we would like, please send them our way, okay?
Before I forget, I was wrong. The platform for the podcast of Luisa Almaguer is Puentes MX, pero el puente. El podcast se llama La Hora Trans. Again, it's un podcast through Puentes MX y se llama La Hora Trans. I just want to make a correction.
La Hora Trans. That's great because I have been wanting to listen to more trans podcasts just to educate myself and to diversify the audio that I'm listening to, because even I end up listening to a lot of white people talk about the same thing over and over again, you know, because that's what the market right. is full with. Actually, now that reminds me of the trans podcast that I listen to. Marsha's Plate is incredible. If you haven't listened to Marsha's Plate, please take a listen. Shout out to them. They are amazing. It's three trans hosts. They are just so funny and informative and have the most amazing stories. There's also this podcast that I just started listening to. They are white trans women, but they are hilarious. It's called Lympho Wars. And let me tell you, during this time of corona, the novel coronavirus, COVID-19,
I needed a podcast that was about nothing and nonsense, and these two women are so fucking funny.
Love it.
They,
¿cómo se llama otra vez?
It's called Ninfo Wars. they don't make no sense, and that's exactly what I needed. And now I have this new one. Say it again, Pablito. What is the podcast called?
It's called La Hora Trans, and the platform is Puentes MX.
Thank you.
Puentes
thank Mexico. You. Thank you. Thank
yes.
you. Okay. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. If you could, please review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you could, please rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to now is by the band Brownout. I'm Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Bye.